Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome in. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, and the Keystone Sports app. Not to mention Keystone Sports Network on Spotify. New and another way to stream all of our great Penn State football talk. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. We are kicking things off with a look at recruiting. Really spending a good chunk of this show on recruiting. We're looking at Greg's five priority items in the 2020 recruiting class. A good class so far. What's it gonna take for it to be a great class? So Greg will chime in on that. We're going to wrap up our re-ranking of Penn State's recruiting classes, focusing on the 2018 class. And I know we're only a year into that one, but we got a little bit more information to look at some of the themes that are emerging there, some of the talent in the class. And then we'll wrap up the show with our player profile series. We're going to continue down that road. We're working the whole way down through the roster. We got another batch of players to discuss this week. So let's start, Greg, by looking at the 2020 recruiting class. Nine commitments so far, a big target off the board, Brian Bracy. Who I think we were mispronouncing his name for a while.
It's one of the worst parts about covering recruiting.
It's tough.
It's easily the worst because you think you have a guy's name nailed for, in the case of Brian, we've probably been talking about him for over, 2 years now?
Yeah.
And we come to find out that his name is pronounced differently than we thought.
Correct.
Say it one more time.
Brian Bracy.
Thank you.
So he's on his way to Clemson. You can't blame the kid for that. Clemson has such a long history, and you saw, three Clemson defensive linemen go in the first round of the NFL draft. There's just not many programs, I think Alabama included, that have the same kind of recent history, recent legacy of creating NFL prospects along the D-line. So you can't blame them there. It does look like a time, I think, to get back, look at the board, some of the top targets left, some of the things that are left for Penn State to accomplish moving forward. So I'm going to defer to you. We'll work our way down through 1 through 5. Five items on your priority list in Penn State's 2020 class.
Yeah, so we'll start with the first one, and I think that it's as easy a place to start as you might imagine, and that's simply to land Julian Fleming. You know, Penn State came into the class of 2020 cycle with two top targets in mind. One was Brian Bracy, is that right?
Bracy, correct.
Okay. One was Brian Bracy, and he obviously ended up at Clemson. And look, does it hurt for Penn State? Yeah, of course it does. I mean, you never want to lose out on a Maryland kid to Clemson or anybody else for that matter. But guess what? You also never want to lose out on the college football playoff and multiple national titles and having an entire defensive line pretty much drafted in the first round, which, guess what? Clemson just did that. So I don't think you can fault Bracy for picking Clemson any more than you can fault Penn State for losing out on him. Fleming would be a different story. Obviously, the Lions have had success when it comes to recruiting wide receivers, whether they be four stars like KJ Hamler and Jahan Dotson or five stars like Justin Shorter. So not only that, but you also have this guy right in your backyard. He's the number five player in the country, according to 247 Sports. He is a top player at his position, and you just simply cannot lose guys like this if you want to take the next step as a program. So for Penn State, that is far and away right. We're recruiting priority number one in this class. For better or for worse, Dustin, we won't know if they are successful in that endeavor for quite some time because Julian Fleming won't decide until at least December.
So Julian Fleming, you always have the risk, I guess, of a guy being overhyped, maybe. But for him, you know, not only do I think he's got the frame, he seems to work very hard at the craft. He is mature. I know he's a little older for a high school senior anyway, but he just has all the ability, and I think he's an instant impact type player. I don't think we're getting beyond. Like, you're going to have to walk your way through this process and be patient as he, entertains other offers, as he is very vocal about entertaining other offers. But I think at the end of the day, just like Michael Parsons was worth the trouble, Julian Fleming is going to be worth the trouble.
Yeah, so I don't want to really, but the one thing I will note is that it does seem to me that Julian is going to have a similar recruitment to Micah when it comes to social media and wanting to check out all of his options and make sure that everything all the I's are dotted and T's crossed before he makes a decision. And you're going to see a lot of love for him from other schools on social media, and I think that it's always a good idea to just ignore all of that and remember that these are kids enjoying a once-in-a-lifetime experience, and he'll make a decision when he's ready to.
How about priority item number two? Considering four offensive linemen are on board now, offensive tackles.
Yeah.
That's a priority.
That's priority too, yeah. So at this point, you have Golden Achiuwa, guard for sure. You have RJ Adams, definite guard. You have Grant Toutant, who's definitely a tackle. And then you have Nick Dawkins, who I think could probably be either one, depending on how he continues to grow. Probably a guard, but maybe a tackle one day. At any rate, if you're Penn State, you need to focus now on filling out that offensive tackle class. And, you know, Michael Comrody was on campus over the weekend, according to 247 Sports. I don't know if you can call him a must-get similar to Julian Fleming, but four-star offensive tackle from Pennsylvania, what's Penn State's track record with those? It's horrible, right? I mean, the couple that have been highly rated typically have gone elsewhere. I always think of Josh Lugg went elsewhere, and a couple other guys have too. And the one four-star offensive tackle Penn State got, Sterling Jenkins, never made a start. So, I mean, you know, at some point, one of these you think has to hit for Penn State. And so I do wonder if Michael Carmody is not a must-get in the Fleming vein. But he was on campus over the weekend as a guy that they'll keep an eye on here. And then Aaron Parks and Anton Harrison, a Fort Washington guy in Parks, who is teammates with Josh Moten, the four-star Penn State corner commit. And then Anton Harris is the four-star tackle from Washington, D.C. So out of those three, I think Penn State needs to get at least two.
So we're looking at a class, and I don't disagree with you with the tackles thing. I don't know that Penn State has successfully recruited, you know, a lot of pure tackles at all. Will Fries, I think it could be considered a success now. He's moving into the most pivotal time of his career where he's got to be a lockdown type player. Rasheed Walker could very well get there, but Ryan Bates wasn't a clear tackle prospect. No. Brendan Mann got run at tackle. He wasn't a clear tackle prospect. Chaz Wright came along and contributed nicely. Paris Palmer was a junior college guy. Who else am I missing here? But not a lot of those 6'6", you know, tackle type athletes have come through and been successfully developed. You've had some, Nana Sidhu, I thought he and Rasheed Walker were a huge recruiting boon a couple years ago. To have him have the heart condition issue is contributes to maybe the urgency in this class, the urgency on the roster right now to find tackles. What are your thoughts? Just on, I know there are shades of gray here because Toutant, for example, got a four-star from 247, but to have four three-star offensive linemen in the mix, I think there's a real desire out there from Nittany Nation to get these high four-stars and five-stars, to get one or two of them. I don't know that Penn State has definitely earned so much trust that Penn State fans are going to not get restless in this situation.
They've struggled to develop, I guess that's not fair to say they've struggled to develop offensive linemen no matter their star rating, but, you know, they have yet in 6 years to put together a very dominant, consistent offensive line that is good against the worst opponents on the schedule and the best opponents on the schedule. So if Penn State thinks that these guys that's recruiting can do it, then I think you toss the star rating out the window. On the other hand, you know that at some point these guys do need to be developed. They do need to be, the guys that can become mean on the football field and really take Penn State to the next step, because if they don't, then this program's never going to get, where Penn State would like it to get to.
How about priority number three?
Priority number three, yes. So that would be lock up one or more 4 or 5 star linebacker. So Curtis Jacobs already in the fold. Derek Wingo committed in Christmas Day. So you have to keep him in the class. I mean, that might be its own priority, quite frankly. I thought about that while putting this list together. Is local schools have been after him, Florida State, Miami. They're all not giving up on him. So he's a guy Penn State's going to have to keep in the fold. Then you have three Mid-Atlantic highly rated guys, the five-star Mikael Sherman out of Washington, D.C., and Khalil Mullings, the four-star out of Massachusetts, and then R.J. Adams' teammate at Woodbridge, Virginia, five-star Antoine Sampa. If you're Penn State, I think you have to get two of them. Honestly, I think you have to close. If you have four four-star linebackers or better in your class, what more could you ask for? And it would take away any – if for any reason there's uncertainty at linebacker in the 2021 class, you don't really care because you have completely loaded up the shelves in the class of 2020.
The shelf is already loaded to begin with going right into 2020. So the fact that two are on board, when it comes to pure numbers, like, you take the best players you can get. And I think for Penn State, linebackers are at the top of that list. But I'd be interested to see if they do get two offensive tackles, they do get two more linebackers, and now suddenly you've got 10 scholarships tied up in one class between linebackers and offensive linemen. It would seem to be out of whack ratio-wise, but if those are the best players, what else can you say? What's priority number four?
Yeah, keep that Florida pipeline open. So, you know, John Dunmore and Noah Kane committed to Penn State and then signed with Jawan Sider and his obviously his team in the last class. They have Wingo committed now. He's a Fort Lauderdale kid, so keep it going. You know, a couple names, you know, Kevon Lee was a four-star running back who visited campus last weekend. Bryce Gowdy's a four-star receiver that I think a lot of people are interested in. So those are two of the names that jump out, but there'll be more come official visit season as guys out down in Florida, you know, maybe they're the ones waiting around for Florida State or Miami to open a spot up and never come, so they consider other options. And Jawan Sider's a tremendous Florida recruiter. He's always going to be there waiting to try and nab guys out of the Sunshine State, even if, you know, they're not the top of the line guys down there.
And one more, speaking of tackles, one more priority item for you.
Yeah, defensive tackle. I mean, Penn State has watched as some of the best defensive tackles in the Mid-Atlantic have gone elsewhere. PJ Mustafer was a tremendous get not too long ago. Robert Windsor's obviously outplayed his star ranking as far as I'm concerned. I have some other guys who are developing, but when you have a guy like Keziah Izzard, Hyattsville, DeMatha, a school you've recruited pretty well, and he's right in your backyard, you can't pass on a guy like that, and you can't miss on a guy like that. I mean, he is a future impact defensive tackle, so I think that is the name to know. But just point blank, they needed to get more consistent when it comes to landing impact defensive tackles, because that's the kind of player that helps you get to the playoff in a national championship.
And they're starting to turn the corner there. I think that in maybe not in 2019, but 2020, you're going to see that defensive tackle rotation start to take shape. They got Cole Brevard in already. One more wouldn't hurt. All right, we're going to move on. Stick with the recruiting theme. Looking back at 2018, a little re-rank of the 18 class coming up after this.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.